1973, the state legislature passed the North Carolina Trail System Act. The law was designed to provide for the ever-increasing outdoor recreation needs of an expanded population and promote public access to travel within and enjoyment and appreciation of the outdoor, natural, and remote areas of the state. 2023 is the Act's 50th anniversary, and the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources has been marking it with the Year of the Trail campaign, where all types of trails have been celebrated across the state. Join us in the last episode of our three-part series exploring the sights, sounds, and people of North Carolina State Trails as we reflect on the Year of the Trail campaign itself.
Welcome to Connecting the Dots, a podcast sharing true stories from the Old North State using materials found in the State Archives of North Carolina. Taking us through these stories and more, here's your host, John Horan.
Hello, I'm John Horan, and welcome back to Connecting the Docks. Today, we will be finishing up our three-part series on the Year of the Trail with an interview about the campaign with a very special guest.
Good afternoon. Good to see you. Yes, I'm Reed Wilson. I am the Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources.
Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
And I've also got producer Danielle Cirilla here with me. And we are going to get started talking about the celebration of the Year of the Trail. So can you tell me a little bit about that campaign?
The idea for the Year of the Trail started from some clever person several years ago, probably someone in the Great Trails State Coalition, which is a collection of nonprofit trails groups, land conservation organizations, you know, people who help build trails, take care of trails, and persuade legislators to provide more money for more trails. And so what happened is those organizations had been working with our department and with legislators, and somebody hatched the idea of let's have an official Year of the Trail in North Carolina. And so this is a state law. It's not just something that we dreamed up here at our department. Legislature passed a bill in 21, designated 2023 as the Year of the Trail in North Carolina. So that is what it has been since January 1st. And in many of my talks around the state at trails events all during the year, I have said, you know, folks, this is the law. It's Year of the Trail. You must get out and hike or bike or paddle or get on a horse. And if you don't, I'll be sending one of our law enforcement park rangers to your house to get you out there, and that'll be your punishment. You have to go hike. But anyway, it started with nonprofit trails activists and then got to the legislature, and they passed it, and it's officially been the Year of the Trail all year long.
Yeah, that's great. So I think maybe people don't realize that it's a law, and getting a law passed can be contentious these days. How was getting this law passed?
Not contentious. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, it was inserted into the state budget. And no one had any opposition to it that I can remember. Just, you know, a number of influential legislators thought, this is a really great idea. Let's make it happen. And at that point, I think the budget was the best vehicle.
Wow, yeah, unanimous at that. That's great.
I don't know if it was unanimous, but bipartisan.
No, there you go. We'll go for bipartisan. I appreciate that. So, you know, what are the main goals for the program?
I'd say there are two, but they're intertwined. One is to get more people out on trails for their health and well-being. And part of that is making people aware of where available trails are. And that's why there were, I believe, more than 1,400 trails-related events around the state so far, and we're not quite done with the year, to build public awareness of where people can go and hike or bike or paddle. So that was a big piece of it, to just let more people know how they can find information about trails, either near where they live or if they're going on vacation somewhere else, where they can, you know, use a trail there. The second big aspect of it was using that public awareness in a good way to build support in the legislature to provide additional funding for trails, to provide money to buy land where more trails can go, and some money for maintenance of existing trails as well. So that has worked out rather well. In the current budget for this year and next, there's almost $55 million extra dollars for trails around the state. And some of that is generally allocated to official state trails, and some of it is specifically designated for a particular trail somewhere. But that is a whole lot of extra funding for trails.
And you're saying that all that extra funding is, you can directly tie it to the year of the trail, or would you think it's coming anyway?
I think there's a clear connection.
Yeah.
I mean, the legislature before this year had been increasing their annual allocation for trails programs. But the fact that it was year of the trail, and the trails advocates kept reminding people at the legislature that, hey, it's great to have this declaration that it's year of the trail. Let's match that with significantly more funding so we can create more trails, extend more trails, so more people have access to them.
That's terrific. Yeah. So that access piece, how does, you know, the trail initiative enhance accessibility and inclusion for all sorts of people?
Well, in a couple ways. One is just information. I mean, if you're a person, you know, living your life, you might not know that there's a state park a half hour away with amazing trails. Or you might not know that the local government got a grant and they have built a new park or a new trail or a new greenway, and it's now available for you to ride your bike on or walk on, whatever you want to do. So a lot of it was just using social media and traditional media to get the word out about what is available in the state in communities in all 100 counties. The other piece of the accessibility is just building more trails and park and greenways. There are lots of areas in the state where there's plenty of trails and greenways. You know, I live in Raleigh, and within a mile from my house, I can get on my bike and go tens of miles in any direction, really. But there are so many parts of the state where that is not the case, where there aren't nearby parks or trails or greenways. And so by providing the extra funding, the legislature has made it more likely, just because there will be more trails, that more communities will have more readily accessible outdoor recreation opportunities.
And it seems kind of obvious, but I think it's worth emphasizing. Why is this important for the state?
First and foremost, health. I mean, we saw during the pandemic how eager, beyond eager, people were to get out of the house and go somewhere where they could get healthy exercise and be, you know, apart from other people. You know, their gym was not open at that point. A lot of things weren't open at that point in the early days of the pandemic, justifiably closed, I believe, for our collective health. But people really wanted to get out and do something for their health. And it wasn't just physical health, you know, it was mental health as well. People needed to get away from the stress of the pandemic and the uncertainty and the grief and all the other emotions that were boiling away in the pot. And so having an hour or two or even a half hour outside getting exercise was not only good for people's legs and hearts, but for their brains as well, and just for overall outlook and spirit. I happen to hike a lot and bike some, but you can tell when you're hiking and you come across other people, or you see the collection of people in the parking lot at the end, that even if they're tired, they're in a better place. They feel better about the world. If they went in happy, they're even happier. If they went in troubled, they come out having had an opportunity to deal with, think about, or get away from whatever it was they were troubled with. So physical, mental, spiritual health, just that's what trails provide. And I think because of that, state government and local governments have noticed that is the case, and that's why they are all providing more funding to build more of these facilities or maintain the existing facilities so that more people can have access to them. Because it is a quality of life thing. And there's an economic aspect too. Businesses want to locate in places where workers want to live. And increasingly, employees of all ages are really wanting abundant outdoor recreational opportunities, and trails are that.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to talk about, you know, the economic aspect. Do you have a sense of, I mean, a little bit more sense of what exactly trails do for that side of things?
I can't narrow it down to trails alone, but I will say this. I think the latest numbers in an annual study showed that the outdoor recreation industry in North Carolina is a $28 billion a year industry. That's everything from outfitters to raft guides to gear manufacturers to state park gift shops and so much more. And, you know, I think the number is that was supporting 220,000 jobs in the state. So that's real economic benefit, and you see how towns are really trying to invest in their local outdoor recreation economy, because it can either bring more people to live there or more visitors who want to enjoy, you know, the morning or a day out on the trail that they have.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to talk about, you know, we were talking about accessibility, and I wanted to get to sort of inclusion as well, and talk about how these trails, you know, they could reach a number of people from the most seasoned to the most inexperienced, and they could reach all kinds of people regardless of age. So I was wondering if you could say anything about that.
Well, I think what's pretty great about this state is parts of it are kind of flat, and parts of it are kind of not flat at all, and there's lots in between. And so in terms of offering different levels of activity for folks, North Carolina is a pretty great state. And even in the mountains, you can find, you know, trails along rivers that are also flat and accessible and easier. But, you know, whether you're a two-year-old with your parents walking on a flat trail, or a seasoned mountaineer and boulderer who goes up to Pilot Mountain, you know, to go up and down the boulders, there's a little bit of everything. And there's another important part of accessibility, which is, you know, we need to be making more of these facilities available for people with disabilities. And, you know, not every trail can be paved and not every trail should be paved, but local governments and state parks division are looking at ways to make more of the trails accessible for people with different abilities. And to their credit, the legislature has provided additional funding for local parks to create parks for people with disabilities and parks for veterans, disabled veterans. And the additional amount in this current budget is $12.5 million, which is the most the legislature has done before, ever, for parks for people with disabilities. And that $12.5 million comes through our department, our Division of Parks and Recreation. Local governments apply for it, like they already do with other parks grants we have. And then our staff evaluate them, and the Parks and Recreation Trust Authority, which is a board, reviews the staff work, and then they decide which local parks projects get funded. And so that will happen with this $12.5 million. And that will be at least 25 local governments, because the maximum grant is $500,000. So this money's going to go around to a lot of communities, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the kind of the next question for me, is to talk about background accessibility that way. You're talking about ability and how more are going to be included. But, you know, you think of trails and you think of, you know, going out, wilderness, state park, right. Pilot Mountain. What about folks who can't do that? They want to hike in their own urban location, for right. example. How does that fit in here?
Well, in increasingly in our urban areas, those local governments are investing in greenways and parks and trails more than ever. Sometimes with financial assistance from the state, but usually the local government is shouldering the most of the burden of funding a new park or a trail or a greenway. But it's happening all across the state. And it's great to see. And, you know, metro areas are better able to supply the funding for those things because they have a larger tax base. What we find, though, is a lot of small rural communities don't have the funding to create, you know, a new greenway or a new trail. You know, they just don't have that, or they don't, may not even have the capacity, the staff capacity, for someone to write the grant in the first place, or write the several grants they have to write to be able to secure all the funding to build what it is they want to build. So we are, our Parks Division is working with local governments around the state to help them build their capacity so that instead of having areas that I would describe as parks deserts, we have places that, you know, currently don't have these wonderful amenities, that over time they'll build the capacity and be able to pull down grants from other sources so they can not only build these outdoor recreation opportunities but maintain them long term and staff them and everything else. So there's so many different ways to define access. Is it just the ability to find a trail that's appropriate for your, you know, for what you want to do? You want to go up a steep mountain, or you just want to go at the coast and lean into the wind, which sometimes feels as steep as a mountain. So whether it's that kind of accessibility or making more of these areas accessible to people with disabilities, or whether it's the third piece of access, which is providing more of these resources in places where they don't currently exist. All those things are important, and Year of the Trail, I think, has helped bring more funding to address all of those things.
Yeah. I want to talk to you more about how Year of the Trail has been working within the division, within the department, I should say, in divisions, and then across state government. But first, I want to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Check out the Carolina Christmas Collection, now live in North Carolina Digital Collections. Get into the holiday spirit with photographs, greeting cards, and advertisements from Christmas celebrations around North Carolina. The collection dates back to the early 1800s and includes historic holiday recipes, letters home from soldiers during World War I and World War II, and many more sentimental items. Dive into holidays from North Carolina's history by following the link in the show notes or head to digital.ncdcr.gov/collections/Carolina-Christmas.
Welcome back. We're here with Secretary Wilson talking about the Year of the Trail, and I am interested to know how the Year of the Trail, you know, kind of ties together within the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources across divisions, if you could speak to that.
What's been really fun is seeing how many different elements of our department have gotten involved in Year of the Trail. I mean, no surprise that state parks would be the lead on this. You know, they have, hundreds and hundreds of miles of trails in their state parks and on our state official state trails. But, you know, the Art Museum here in Raleigh has 5 miles of trails in their art park, and they've been encouraging people all year to get out and enjoy them. And if people haven't done that, I highly recommend it because you get in your exercise and in your outdoor experience in nature, and all along the trails there's amazing outdoor artwork, and then you can go inside for free and see more amazing art. So that's a great experience. A number of our historic sites have trails. And in fact, just recently out at Vance Birthplace State Historic Site near Asheville, they cut a ribbon on a new trail that goes from the historic site out into the woods somewhere and comes back. I also was at an event at Bentonville State Historic Site in Johnston County a few months ago where they were cutting a ribbon on a new segment of the Mountains to Sea Trail. So all across the department, all across the state, we've had a lot of enthusiasm from our employees and our friends groups and others for Year of the Trail. And it's been heartwarming to see.
Yeah, I think that's really great. I mean, what were you expecting?
Well, that's a good question. I was expecting it would just kind of be a trails thing with state parks mostly. I also knew that the Great Trails State Coalition, which again is the collection of wonderful nonprofits that care about trails, I knew they'd be very active, and we have been partnering with them throughout. And so when there is a trail day event in some town, our department is a part of it, but so are the local organizations that are part of the Great Trails State Coalition. So it's been a wonderful collaboration, and they couldn't have done all this on their own, and we couldn't have done all this on our own. So it's just been a wonderful partnership, and I'm sure we will keep working together next year and beyond.
Yeah, that's that. We're getting ahead of ourselves, but
yep,
I think we'll talk about how it is the year of the trail, but it will continue to perhaps be the years of the trail. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but we will get into that. I did want to make sure I asked you about it. So that was sort of that's an idea of the experience within the department across divisions, and then a little bit about the nonprofit organizations. But what about across other state departments? Have there been any kind of Year of the Trail connections with other departments in the state government?
Well, I know that Department of Transportation has their own trails program, and they've been doing things. We haven't necessarily done them together because it just hasn't worked. Their trails are a little different than our trails. But they've been very active. I know that HHS believes that trails are good for people's health, and stay tuned for an event that HHS Secretary Kinsley and I are planning for the new year.
You heard it here first.
And you know, Department of Environmental Quality, they're in Environmental Education Division has been a partner in Year of the Trail as well. So, I feel like those departments that have an angle into Year of the Trail have been involved, not to mention Office of State Human Resources, which includes all of us state employees, and they've been helping to encourage people to get out too.
That's great, yeah. How has the governor been involved?
He has been to a number of state parks during this year, and whenever we do that, we talk about trails. And he was at Goose Creek State Park for Earth Day. He was at Eno River State Park when they cut the ribbon on their new visitor center back in August. I missed that because I had COVID. Very frustrated. And I know he's been to others that I'm just, you know, he's been to so many in the last almost 7 years that I've been here. I don't know if I can tell you which ones were this year, but he understands the importance of parks and trails for people's health and for the economy, and so he's been a big supporter of this whole effort. Not to mention the First Lady. Let's not forget her. Not too long ago, she and I did an event at Jockey's Ridge State Park out there at the coast with the huge sand dunes. And the event was to highlight Native Plant Week, because the governor had proclaimed that week in October as Native Plants Week. And we went there because they had planted a beautiful native garden right in front of their new visitor center at the state park. So that's why we were there. But we also went out onto the big sand dune where just a few weeks before that, the park had installed the official eastern terminus of the Mountains to Sea Trail, which I highly recommend people go there and see this structure, which is the big, well, I guess it's the end of the Mountains to Sea Trail. It would be the beginning of the Sea to Mountains Trail if you wanted to go uphill. But anyway, It is a wonderful structure that if you just see a picture of it, you might think it's 4 feet tall, and it is so much bigger, and you can stand in it. So if you're in the Outer Banks, people should go to Jockeys Ridge State Park and start their journey on the Mountains to Sea Trail, or at least see the official terminus of that trail.
Oh, that's really great. I was there. I was there in August, and I didn't know that was there.
It wasn't there yet.
Yeah. So now I'm gonna have to go back and see it. So that's great.
You will.
I will.
You must.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, I was. You've teed me up perfectly because I'm gonna ask you more about events. And you know, it's going on all of 2023. It's December, so we're getting to the end. But I was sort of wondering if you had other highlights. You just shared a few, but if you had a few more, and if you could start by talking about what you said earlier. You said trail day event. What is a trail day event? And then what were some of the highlights?
More than a dozen communities over the course of the year had, I guess I'd call them trail days weekends, or at least a trail day on a weekend. But most of them seem to be like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. Where hundreds of people would gather for various aspects of this. And I'll give an example. Morganton and Burke County is kind of a trails hotbed out there. And I think there was a hike people could go on Friday night. There were speakers and a program and music and food trucks on Saturday, and other hikes people could go on. And Sunday, there were more food trucks and hikes people could go on. And so that's what a Trails Day or Trails Weekend was all about, was putting together sort of a festival of area trails and publicizing that so that people from the community would come and be a part of it. And, you know, maybe sticking with Morganton, maybe people always like to go to Lake James State Park for their hike and, you know, weren't aware of South Mountain State Park. Well, they would have known about it if they had come to Trails Day, and then they could go explore that the next time they were hiking somewhere. Or the Fonta Flora State Trail, or, well, there's a lot of other trails out there. So it was a way for the local community, folks in Burke County, to come together. And it was just a trails love fest. I mean, everyone there was excited about it. There were people from state parks, from the National Park Service, county government, city government. It's just everybody who's into trails and parks gathered and got to know each other if they didn't already, although it seemed like most people already knew each other, even though there were a lot of people. So that happened in more than a dozen locations around the state, and each one of them, I wasn't able to get to all of them, but each one of them apparently was just a big celebration and festival for local trails.
That's great. Now that's really terrific. So, you know, what about in this last month here, what kind of highlights do we have to wrap up the year of the trail?
Well, there's a few more. I wouldn't call them trails days or trails weekends, but organized hikes around the state. And I will tell you from a personal perspective that I will complete my state park's 100-mile challenge. And what that is every year state parks challenges people to hike or bike or paddle 100 miles in state parks or official state trails or state rivers or state lake, for that matter, if you're paddling. And I've been, for a number of years, I've been doing the hiking one, get to 100 miles. Last year and this year, I'm doing hiking and biking, so I've already knocked out the biking one because it goes a lot faster. Most of that on the bike was on the Neuse River Trail, which is part of the Mountains to Sea Trail, which qualifies it for the 100-mile challenge. And I have 6 more miles to go on the hiking one and plan to do that this weekend if the weather is acceptable. And I think there's a lot of people around the state who are counting their miles and planning to get there one way or another. And the other thing, although this is next year, January 1st is first day hikes day for state parks. So I'm pretty sure every single state park and state trail will have a January 1 hike, organized hike going on. So it's not like Year of the Trail goes away.
Well, good. So that, once again, you're just making my job easy. You're teeing me up. The next question, you know, looking beyond 2023, what's the legacy?
The most important legacy will be that more people are outdoors getting healthy recreation in natural settings and connecting to nature and improving their mind, bodies, and spirit. That is the legacy. If we have been able to persuade during this year dozens or hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands more people that their life will be better if they go spend time on a trail, that's success. So that's the most important thing, and I think we have accomplished that. And the other legacy is that we have momentum to create more trails for people who don't have them near them yet. And so this is just a glide path to continue putting more outdoor recreation opportunities in communities that don't have them at this point or don't have enough. I mean, to me, everybody in this state should live within 10 minutes of a park or a trail or a greenway. Now, that can be 10 minutes by car, but still, we need people to have this ready access to outdoor recreation for, you know, better quality of life and better health.
This initiative certainly has shaped a lot of programs within the department and these trail days and stuff like that. Do you think that kind of thing will continue beyond?
I do think that, especially among a number of communities around the state where they really love their trails and they're very active and they, you know, they come to Raleigh to knock on the doors of their legislators to ask for more trails funding, that we will continue to see trails festivals in some form or fashion. I just think that's going to happen. And because there's all this additional funding for trails, we're going to see more and more ribbon cuttings. We're going to see more volunteer days. There's just going to be more miles for people to use. And that's a wonderful result.
That's for sure. And how can our listeners get involved?
Well, they can get out on a trail, first of all. That's too obvious, I guess. But it's not really. It's no. Always worth repeating. They can talk to their legislators about the need to keep funding. They can volunteer with trails groups to go out and maintain a trail or help build a trail. And they can find out more about available parks by going to our department, our Parks Division's website, PATH NC. And PATH stands for Parks and Trails for Health. So this is a program of our department that we created a few years ago. So if people are looking for information about nearby trails, they should go there.
All right. I was going to ask you how people can find out about a trail near them. Would they also use PATH NC
yes,
for that?
Yes, they should.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Are there any other ways of finding out trails nearby?
There are apps. I know there's one called All Trails. I don't actually know if it's free or not. Mm-hmm. So people should check that out. I know it exists, and I've heard good things about it. But I end up limiting my hiking and biking time a lot to state parks and state trails so that I can hit the challenge, so I know where they are.
Sure.
Well, and do them all.
Good. That's great. So the All Trails is free, but if you want to save things, you have to have a subscription. I'll put that in because I don't use it. And then I will say, what is your favorite trail? Let's wrap up and talk about your favorite trail.
That's an unfair question because I can only make enemies, right?
Yeah.
I have different definitions of favorite trail, but I'm going to do the one that I hike the most, and it is among my top favorites. But it is the Company Mill Trail in Umstead Park. You get to it at the south entrance to the park off of 40. And I like it because you can do a mile down and a mile back, or you can do a 5 mile loop or a 6 mile loop, depending on what you're feeling like. But when you go down the hill, basically, for the first mile, you wind up at Reedy Creek and you cross the bridge. And to the right is a bunch of granite slabs, and you can just sit there and watch the creek go by as it's going over some little rapids. And some days after a rain, it's bigger rapids. And it's just a spot where you can sit and veg out and just, you know, focus your eyes on the water going over the rocks, and everything else just melts away. It's a beautiful spot, and sometimes I'm a little annoyed when other people are there on the rocks talking, but, you know, that's fine. That's okay. Sure. But it's just a really beautiful spot, and I was just there last weekend sitting and watching, and a great blue heron was on the other bank fishing and eating, you know, and it's just a wonderful natural spot. So what you have to decide, though, if you're going to do the 5 mile or 6 mile loop, is do you do that sitting by the stream after 1 mile, or with only 1 mile to go, or do you do it near the beginning of the hike and near the end of the hike? You know, these are the big decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful spot, and you watch the water go by. And just to really emphasize why it's important, an important spot for me to sit and think, is my father back in the late 60s and early 70s was a staff member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee when they created the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. And I heard about this, I was a boy. And when he passed away in 2006, like the first place I went after we came home was to the Company Mill Trail. And I just hiked down and I sat on those rocks for a long time and watched the water go by, thinking about my dad and the Clean Water Act and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a powerful, I don't even know how long I was down there, but it was just exactly what I needed. And I think people find moments like that all the time in our parks and on our trails.
I think that's exactly right, and I really appreciate that story, that personal connection. I mean, it sounded therapeutic already, and then you mentioned this connection with your dad, and then that just takes it over the edge. That's terrific. I really appreciate you sitting down and talking with us about the trails and about the year of the trail, about your favorite trail, and all of that, and how great we have this great trails system here in the state of North Carolina. So I want to thank you for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listeners, thank you again for tuning into another production of Connecting the Docs. Listen out for our next episode where we answer archival questions sent in by you. Special thanks to former intern Annabeth Poe and former team member Brooke Chuka for their Year of the Trail research, to our team members Daniel Shirilla, producers Katie Crickmore, Josh Hager, and Shauna Carr, and to the voice you hear at the beginning and end of each episode, Judy Allen Dodson. Get out there and take a hike. I'm John Horan.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Season 4 of Connecting the Docs. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, so you'll never miss an episode. If you like this show, you might want to check out our blog, History for All the People.